Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we'll get to Doug in just a couple of moments, but I want to remind you that we have an opportunity for you right now to begin the broadcast, as we always do, to take home a $25 gift certificate from Sorgles, but you have to be the 10th caller right now at 412-922-1020. He's got two guests for the price of one show to give you the entire lineup. Here he is, Doug Oster, DougOster.com. Morning, Doug.
Good morning, Rob. Yes, we've got two great guests today. Steve Biggs from Toronto is going to tell us all about figs, how to get that fig tree ready for winter, and he has helped me with my figs. I'm picking hundreds of figs this year. It has been so much fun. I tell the story all the time about going to Italy that first time for our 25th anniversary and picking those figs overlooking the Mediterranean. My wife asking me, can you grow figs in Pittsburgh? And I'm like, yeah, but it's not easy. So we're going to learn all about that. And my friend Laura Schock, we've been friends for, 20 years, works at Phipps. She designs the Fall Flower Show. And this year, it's Visions of Japan. It's a really cool show. So we'll talk to both of them a little later. But it is time to plant bulbs. This is when we do it. And don't just stop gardening. This third part of the season is an important one. We're getting more rain on Tuesday, Wednesday, which is going to help. But bulbs like daffodils and tulips and hyacinths and crocus and snowdrops and you name it, this is when we plant them. And we plant them with this tool you have to get. It's called a bulb auger, and it makes bulb planting easy.
This is where I say, and I'm not being paid to do this. You always say that. I'm not being paid by the company, but I highly recommend this.
That's coming to the next line.
I knew it.
Yes. Well, I want to make it clear that when I talk about a product, it is not an advertisement. So the auger I use is made in the USA. It's called a power planter. The one I like is 7 inches long by 3 inches wide. And again, I know the guy who runs the company, and he's just, well, we're going to make you an affiliate link and this and that. I'm like, no, I don't need any of that. I use it. This auger works. It's like $25. It'll last forever. You can find an auger cheaper on Amazon, but it's not going to last. This thing's going to last. And when I'm using this bulb auger, that short one, I'm working by myself in the garden. So I'm on my knees with a big bag of bulbs next to me. And then that little drill, the auger fits on your drill, and I'm drilling a hole, throwing a bulb in. But if you had a two-person operation, you could use the longer auger, which is going to be a little bit more expensive. But then the person drilling is in the standing position, and then behind you, people can drop bulbs in. When my kids were young and I needed help planting bulbs, I would ground them. You're grounded, and one of your groundings is you got to help me plant bulbs. So even though they're now in their late 30s and early 40s, when they come back and they see those daffodils up on the hillside, they say, I don't know what I did, but that's when I planted those. So talking about planting those bulbs, you can win a $100 gift certificate towards bulbs from flowerbulbs.eu. I've been working with flowerbulbs.eu for many years. They don't sell bulbs. They just do the same thing I do. They want people to plant bulbs, and it's not as popular as it used to be, but it should be. And I think especially with daffodils. Daffodils are indestructible. The deer won't touch them. The rodents won't touch them, and they'll be there forever. again, I tell this story a lot, where I spend a lot of time on the water in a kayak, and especially up at Lake Arthur, there are houses there they bought, farms that they bought that didn't end up underwater. That's what they basically did. They bought up all this land and then flooded it. Well, this one farm, it would have been the most beautiful lakeside property you ever saw. And every spring I paddle by and I know the variety of a daffodil, I'm looking for it and seeing it bloom there. It's an old variety called Van Sion. And, you know, when they did the lake in the 50s, 60s, those daffodils are still there. And so when you plant daffodils like that, you're creating a legacy. And so anyway, that $100 gift certificate for bulbs from flowerbulbs.eu, go to DougOster.com, click on the contact button. It sends me an email and say, I want to win the bulbs. Today at 4 o'clock, I will be watching my son try to win his fourth consecutive hot wing eating contest at the Bingham Tavern in Mount Washington. I taught that boy to eat hot peppers when he was young, so the sauce they're using is 1 million Scovilles, and if you know anything about these Scoville units, a pepper with 1 million Scovilles, well, whew, it's tough. Get out to the nurseries, all sorts of cool vegetables out there, and I do mean cool, for cool weather growing. But one of the things that I love growing late in the season here is flowering kale. And flowering kale, it comes in many different shapes and sizes and just has a beautiful, sometimes white, sometimes pink, sometimes purple. There's one I love. Look for. It's called red boar. That's one word. And it, instead of growing like a little short plant, it's like a tall tree, and it's like a thriller in a container. It's just wonderful. There is a caller there, Rob. We want to grab him before we go to break?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see how she's here. In Cranberry Township, you're on with Doug Oster. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Wonderful. Go ahead.
I got my auger. It's ready to go. I just need to get my bulbs delivered. Hey, I have a question. Why is my lilac blooming? And part two of that is, should I prune it back after it's finished blooming?
So we have seen this with lilacs over the last several seasons where they start to throw blooms in the fall. And no, don't cut it back, because what's happening is right after it blooms in the spring, it's putting on buds, which are supposed to last there all winter. But the weather is fooling the plant. And it's not the worst thing that can happen. Whatever part of that branch that flowered, it's not going to flower probably next year. It probably doesn't have enough time to put buds on, but we'll see. No, leave it alone. It's been a tough year for lilacs. Many of them have seen a fungal issue that has them drop their leaves, but they'll be okay. And so just enjoy the bloom. Maybe clip it off, put it in a vase. And I'm glad you've got your auger and ready for your bulbs to plant. That's good news. And thanks so much for the call. The other thing that I did was, after our pawpaw event, where everyone got to taste a pawpaw, I saved the seeds. I had everybody throw those seeds into a little plastic bag. Then I took them, and we're talking about, gosh, I don't know, well, hundreds of seeds. And I had to wash those seeds off, wash the pawpaw off them, because it's a special variety. So my friend Julie Harilla, we hooked up last year with these pawpaws, because they have, when she dropped them off, they tasted so great. And so I wanted Tree Pittsburgh to have these seeds and try and grow out this variety and perpetuate this variety. And so it was so fun to go to Tree Pittsburgh with a bag of seeds from my friend Julie, but also from my fishing buddy, Larry. I turned him on to pawpaws, and he started to recognize what the trees are, and he collected pawpaws along the Kiski River. Pawpaw trees love to grow along the river, but they'll grow just about anywhere. And so those seeds are with Tree Pittsburgh. We'll keep an eye on that for the next couple of years and see how those trees turn out. Who knows? We might be able to get some of those special trees, which would be fun. I do need your Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Seeds. If you have been growing the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Seed, or if you've been growing the Limbaugh Legacy Potato Top Tomato, I need the seeds. If you happen to save them, if you happen to have some, all that information on how to get them to me is at DougOster.com. I talked about it before. I wrote this post on Facebook that went crazy, and now I'm getting letters from all over the world, and I want people to be able to grow this variety. We'll do the story real quick. Fred Limbaugh, back in 2000, the late Fred Limbaugh, sent me or called me at the Post-Gazette when I worked there and said he had this great tomato, and I went out to his place, and he gave me a couple plants, and I grew them out, and it is great. His family's been growing it for generations. It's this big, pink, ugly beefsteak, thin-skinned, and just amazing flavor. One of the best-tasting tomatoes out there. I'm actually meeting with a friend today from Butler. I'm giving him some garlic, and he's giving me some potato top seeds, so that's going to be fun. And if you've got tomatoes that are still on the vine, you've got time to leave them on there. But when it's time, when we're going to get a frost, and if you've got tomatoes left on there, what we do is we pick them, we put them in a bag with an apple, and that apple produces ethylene gas to help them ripen. And I've got one of my gardening friends that last year, one of his tomatoes lasted until, it was certainly February, but he might have got it to March. And so when I take those tomatoes off, I'm putting like the pure green ones in one bag, some with a little blush in another bag, and some with a little bit more ripeness in another bag. And that's a great way to extend your harvest, and you should have your tomatoes at least at Thanksgiving, and you can brag about it at the Thanksgiving table.
All right, back with Doug Oster, DougOster.com, the organic gardener, next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm joined again this morning by my friend Steve Biggs from Toronto, Ontario, and today we're talking all about figs. Steve is a prolific author. Earlier, we talked to him about Grow Olives Where You Think You Can't. Today, we're going to talk about his book, Grow Figs Where You Think You Can't, Grow Figs in a Cold Climate, 150 of Your Questions Answered. He also wrote Grow Lemons Where You Think You Can't, but Steve, I always refer to you as the fig whisperer, and you have taught me how to harvest lots of figs, and that's what we want to talk about today is what should we do with this fig tree that we have growing out in the garden, whether it's in a pot or as a tree, before it gets too cold. Because a lot of people, they see Hardy Fig on the name of what they bought. And they leave it there, and then it gets killed on the top. It sprouts again in the spring, but not enough time to put a fig on.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks for Fig Whisperer. I love that name, Doug. as you say, so the fig will survive the winter where you are, where I am. But if you get top dieback from the cold, then you probably won't be harvesting figs or as many figs. So the trick is to just kind of minimize how much cold that plant gets. And there's a couple different strategies. You can leave it out in your garden and protect it somehow, or if it's growing in a pot, you can just put it somewhere where the conditions are a bit less extreme. So starting with that, with a plant in a pot, I've got potted figs on my driveway. We talked before that my wife can't put the car in the garage in the winter because of the figs. And in the summer, I take up half the driveway with figs too. So in the winter, I roll those potted fig trees right into the garage, and I keep the garage just around the freezing mark. So, you know, a potted fig could probably take temperatures a little bit colder, but why risk it when you're going to all this trouble to grow them? And the great thing about figs is they go dormant. So they drop all their leaves, they go to sleep, I can roll them in the garage, and I'll check them a couple times through the winter, make sure the soil doesn't get too dry. You don't want it bone dry, but that's it. It's so easy.
So with the containers, you said you roll them in. So how big are these containers that the figs are in?
Thanks for asking. And I don't want to give the wrong visual image. It's not like I'm turning them on their side to roll them in. I put a dolly underneath and then I roll them in. They're about the size of a half barrel. You know, sometimes people make planters out of half whiskey barrels. That's about the size I'm using. But, you know, you can grow them in a smaller pot too. It's all about how big you want them to be. So you just prune the roots and the top to fit the pot size that's manageable for you.
So let's say we have it in that pot that size, like a half barrel. Can it live in that half barrel for a long time without having to do anything as far as root pruning and that sort of thing?
Oh, so it can live in there for years. So think of your fig tree like a family heirloom. So that's how I'm positioning mine. I'm trying to get the kids on board that these are going to them when I'm gone. And so you'll prune it every year or a couple years. You want to prune the roots a bit, prune the top a bit, but you don't have to do a big root prune every year, Doug. I do mine every 3 or 4 years.
Do you think they're going to be interested in growing your figs?
I have one who's on board. He's out there picking the figs before I can, eating half of them on me. So I think I got a fig pig in the family.
We got the fig whisperer and a fig pig. That's
absolutely
good. I'm a fig pig too, so there's nothing like them. So for our tree that stays out in the garden, my tree now, Steve, is at least 15 feet tall, maybe taller, with a trunk that's at least 6 inches around, maybe more. What should we be doing with something that stays out in the garden?
Well, I'll tell you what I do with mine. So I've heard of people here in Toronto who they build a temporary structure around their in-ground fig trees. You know, just something here, you could use something like plywood with maybe a bit of foam board, but you're just moderating those extreme temperatures. I tip my trees though. So I chop around the roots about 180 degrees. I mean, it looks really brutal in the fall. I'm taking off all these roots halfway around the root ball. But that allows me then to wrestle that tree flat to the ground, and then I just insulate it with a whole bunch of straw. Now, some people take it a step further and they even bury the fig tree in a trench. So if you're somewhere colder, you might want to do that, but I don't have to do that here. But the whole idea here is that the temperature of the ground doesn't swing back and forth as much as the air temperature does. So if you put your fig tree flat to the ground and insulate it, then it's not getting all those temperature fluctuations and it stays just a little bit warmer, warm enough that it'll survive.
Tell me about the classes that you hold online related to figs, if people want to learn how to do this the right way.
Thanks for asking. Yeah, I have a 2-day fig camp and it's just a really intensive 2-part fig class where I geek out on how to grow figs in a cold climate. So this year I have one on October 21st and 23rd, and it's all online. It's just by Zoom. And if anybody's interested, I've got details at foodgardenlife.com.
And I will also link to that from DougOster.com. When a normal person hears us talking about what needs to be done with this fig over the winter, they think, boy, that seems like a lot of work. Why? Explain to people why we go through all this so that we can harvest figs.
Good question. Well, the thing is, in fig growing regions, they pick figs before they're perfectly ripe so that they ship well. Because when a fig's perfectly ripe, it's really soft. And the thing is, once you pick it, it doesn't ripen anymore. So the figs that they sell at the store, you know, they're a little bit more cardboard-like. I don't know if that's a fair way to describe it, but it just doesn't compare to a fresh fig off the tree, which is kind of jam-like, especially if it's warm because it's been in the sun. There's just nothing that compares to it. That's why you should grow a fig tree at home.
Steve Biggs is the author of Grow Figs Where You Think You Can't, along with many other books about growing things that you don't think you can when it gets cold. Steve, I appreciate your time. Love having you on the show, and we will talk soon.
Thank you, Doug.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm joined this morning by Laura Schock. She is an old friend of mine for Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens, and she designed the Fall Flower Show. And Laura, this one, I mean, they're all great, but this one especially looks cool. Must have been fun to put together. What is the theme this year?
The theme for 2025 is Visions of Japan. So it outlines the highlights and of Japanese culture and surrounding the mom.
Tell me a little bit about putting it together.
So our flower shows take about a year, year and a half to put together. So we all come up with a theme based on a few choices. And we thought that this one would be a great opportunity to showcase some of the new techniques that we're trying to showcase for this show.
And nothing better than moms for a fall show. Discuss a little bit of the significance of using moms in the Japanese culture.
The chrysanthemum, as we call it, originated in China. So that had a long history before the Japanese culture decided to take it another step. So they developed their own techniques and growing techniques about this plant, forming it into different shapes, taking the art even further.
Talk a little bit about those shapes. What kind of different things do you do with moms?
Okay, so the challenge was to do a fan, chrysanthemum bonsai, and a shield. So as you come through the show, you'll see these different forms that have not been seen in Phipps in quite a while. And in all my 20 years, I have not seen a chrysanthemum bonsai displayed here. So that was really exciting to see come to fruition.
Oh, that sounds amazing. How do you do it? How do you do that?
Our production team is absolutely amazing, and they rose to the challenge of coming up with some different forms, which was really, that's where the Japanese theme came from, was the different forms that are used over there and what we could do here in Pittsburgh.
Do we still get to see my favorite type of mom, the Disbud?
Yes, and there's tons of them. So yeah, Disbud is a mom that blooms with a single very large bloom. That's Doug's favorite. how it's achieved is by selecting a mom that typically grows tall with very large blooms. And then we take it further by staking, pruning, and removing the side shoots of that plant to put all the energy into one giant bloom.
Now, the thing about the fall show is you've got to see it because it's only there for a short time, right? How long can we visit Phipps to see the fall show?
Well, the show has started on Saturday, this past Saturday, so yesterday, and it will go for 3 weeks. So it's very fleeting. Chrysanthemums are very short-lived, so you kind of have to take the opportunity while it's there to come see it.
What do I see when I walk in the palm court when I enter Phipps?
Well, first off, you're going to see lots of color. So there's going to be red mums and yellow mums, and it's going to be full of big blooms. So, and then you're going to see a torii gate, which is kind of like an entrance into a very peaceful place. So that's what it was meant to be, is a nice, peaceful, calming show with lots of color.
Laura, you've been doing this for a long time. What do you get out of it, designing these shows?
I love it when I see people come through and just like either the mouth hangs open or they just can't believe that something so pretty is here in Pittsburgh, that we have these specialty mums that we grow that take all summer through a very painstaking process, and we put them on display for 3 weeks. So it's very rare in this area to see that kind of thing. You have to go to make major display gardens to see specialty mums grow like this. And we are the longest lasting fall show in the United States. So we were very proud of that tradition.
Well, I can tell you're very proud of it. And I always love seeing your shows. So after the Palm Court, what are some other highlights that we'll see when we visit Phipps?
Yeah, you're going to walk through the Sunken Garden and see lots of color and 13 classifications of mums. So you'll learn a little bit about how things are classified under the North American classification system of mums. Then you're going to see things like a moon gate and a tohoto that's in the east room. And then in the broderie room, you're going to see a fan made out of chrysanthemums, which was really, really neat to see.
What is the hardest part of putting a show like this together for you?
Probably making up all the numbers. And for me, it's watching the production of this plant go from May all the way through a very hot summer. And it's really not for me. It's the design is pretty easy. It's the production that our production team puts together. I'm so proud of them for coming and meeting the challenge of all these different shapes that we put into this show and techniques. I just can't be happier with what came out this year.
I know you have it down to a science on having these flowers ready for the right time, but is there ever a worry, like when you go back into that production area and say, oh, I hope this one's blooming at the right time, or do you have it done?
Oh, there's always a worry. Every show, there's a worry with it. Something's not going to come out the way we want. I mean, after all, these are all plants. They're living things, and we can't always predict exactly when something's going to bloom, even with meticulous records. It's a living thing. So we do our best. Sometimes we do have issues, and we have to kind of work those out. But for the most part, you just got to go with the flow.
When you put these shows together, what do you hope that people get out of their visit?
Well, I always think about what I like to see when I visit a botanic garden. And one of the things is something different. I want to learn something about plants. I think that's a lot of the reason why people visit Phipps, and also to get kind of entertained with color and design and see something different and perhaps learn something about a different culture that incorporates this plant. I think that's one of the biggest things I get pleasure out of.
Laura, I love what you're doing there. I love the show. And thanks so much for coming on the show here. It was great to talk to you again.
Oh, it was great talking to you too, Doug.
Yeah, Visions of Japan is a really wonderful show. If you haven't seen the fall show before, because it's only on for a few short weeks, you should check it out. And what she was talking about that I love are those, what they call mum disbuds. So it's one big giant flower from a mum, and it's something you just don't see anywhere else. And just a really, really fun show. And when you do go to Phipps, don't forget to look at the outdoor gardens. A lot of times people miss the outdoor gardens. I did a TV piece this year for my show in Doug's Garden, and we focused only on the outdoor gardens. There are a lot of cool outdoor gardens. If the weather permits, you should check it out. There's a little kind of Japanese garden off one of the rooms, and it's a really beautiful, quiet space. All the bonsai is out there, so I store some of the bonsai out there. So, yeah, check out the Fall Flower Show. I think you'll enjoy it. If you're going to go to that Fall Flower Show, you might as well get a membership and check out all the shows, because certainly the next show after the Fall Flower Show is one of the biggest ones, the Winter Flower Show, and you got all that Christmas stuff, and we'll do a story on it. We'll talk about it on the air. It's a lot of fun. Phipps is a great place. And I'm always surprised when I'm talking about Phipps, they just say, "Oh, I went there when I was a kid." I said, "You should go there again, because there are a lot of ideas there for us, a lot of good ideas when you check out these shows."
Shriner Circus and Phipps, that's what we did my entire element. And I loved every minute. It was a big deal. I didn't need no alarm to wake me up then. That was good stuff. All right, listen, planting. We're going to focus in the last segment. Whatever you're planting and planning this fall, now that it's here, Doug wants to help you. So load them up. Let's get going. Planning and planting for fall. That's what we're going to focus on in our final segment. 866-391-1020. All right, a couple of minutes left in the segment, so not that he decided, I decided, because this guy's working hard, so I wanted to just kind of jumpstart the thing a little bit. So planning and planting, it's fall, it's that time of year, he's doing his bulbs, what are you doing? If you need help, call us right now, 866-391-1020, out to the beautiful country that I know well in New Swickley, Pennsylvania. Here's Gene for Doug. Go ahead, Gene.
Hi, Doug and Rob. Doug, I have a question. I started some Rose of Sharon from seeds I got from my son's bushes, and they're about 6 or 7 inches tall now, and I have them in a planter because when I started them before, something ate them. Should I keep them in that planter over winter? Will they freeze, or is it early enough that I can still put them in the ground?
I would want to put them in the ground. They're basically indestructible. I don't know what would eat a Rose of Sharon. That's too bad. but I would put them in the ground. There's a couple different ways to do it. How big are they now?
About 6-7 inches tall.
So you could put them into what we call a nursery bed for the winter, which was just like an area that you dig up and you put a bag of compost in and you put them real close together and they kind of sit in there for the winter. Their roots get established. They get going. Or even at that size, you could probably stick them in where you want them for their permanent location also. And this is the perfect okay. This is the perfect time to plant them because when we get later in the season here, and it is actually going to cool off eventually. I know it's 81 degrees. It's going to be 81 today, and it's October. But it's going to cool off, and that coolness and the short days are conducive to root growth as opposed to top growth. So that's why we're putting trees and shrubs and perennials and bulbs in now. We just want them to get their roots established and then next spring do the top growth. So you could do it either okay. One of those ways. You know, a lot of people hate Rose of Sharon because it makes lots of babies. So
I really like them.
I like them too. And believe it or not, Gene, I brought Rose of Sharon with me when I moved to this garden just because my Rose of Sharons have special memories with me with my kids. So, often talk about a good friend of mine who always was dissing Rose of Sharon because they bloomed at the wrong time, he thought. They bloomed in midsummer. And that's the other thing I love about Rose of Sharon. And the other thing that's good about Rose of Sharon, it is a good pollinator plant. And those seeds feed the birds in the winter. So, Gene, we're doing a good thing. I don't care what people say about Rose of Sharon. We're doing a good thing. So good luck with those plants, and they'll be fine this winter.
Yeah, is there any flower that you wish could return that's kind of extinct now that you remember from your childhood or tree?
Mm. Wow, that's an interesting – well, the one that I'm going to be growing – I think you'll find this interesting. It's a tree called a Franklinia. It's named for Benjamin Franklin. And these two plant hunters in the 1700s found this tree growing in a valley in Georgia. And they dug it up and brought it back, named it for Benjamin Franklin. It's this cool tree that blooms late. And now you cannot find it in the wild. It's only available through a nursery, through propagation, through taking cuttings and stuff. And it's really hard to grow. I'm hoping I'm not going to kill it. But something like that, that's kind of the interesting thing about gardening, is that sort of thing. There's another one that I grow called a Dawn Redwood. It's a big 100-foot tall tree. It looks like a redwood, only it's deciduous. It drops its needles in the winter. But they thought it was extinct. They only knew it from fossils. And then during World War II, a group found a stand of them in China, in a valley in China, and then took those, you know, the seeds and everything. It's kind of controversial, actually, because back in the 40s, they kind of forced their way back into China and took the plants. And now we've got Dawn Redwoods everywhere. So thought to be extinct. And so along those lines, those are a couple of things that I like to.
You remember poplar trees?
Yeah, you know.
That was my favorite. My dad had them lined all the way up and down the side of our border of our backyard. And I remember when they started to die one after another, and he couldn't save them. But I have always thought about poplar trees, and I never see them anymore.
They only last about 10 years.
Oh, I didn't even know
that. Yeah, that's where they were dying. And I had, in the house I grew up in Aurora, Ohio, had a line of those poplars right in front of the house. That was a popular thing to plant during the 50s. A quick-growing tree, but not long-lasting. And because it's not long-lasting is why you don't see them as much anymore.
Why do they not survive past 10?
It's just one of those things. It might be more like 20. I don't know. But I just know that they're short-lived. And sometimes plants live for hundreds of years. Sometimes their maturity is like just, it's short-lived. That's just the way that the plant is and perpetuates itself through dropping seeds or whatever it might be.
Cycle of life. Okay, take us home.
Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow.
It's all about soups and stews, but those Campbell's soup recipes, good. So get on the line with your favorite Campbell's soup recipes, and you may be taking home a $25 gift certificate from Coons Market. We'll get to that, the Coons Cooking Hour with Frank Dentici, right after Rob Taylor checks the news at 8 o'clock, 4 minutes away on a Sunday morning. With your Pratt Pack at KDKA 100.1 FM AM 1020. Good morning.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.